serving him in spirit from the inside out.
Inside out, inside out. You must serve my Jesus from the inside out.
Inside out,
inside out. You must serve my Jesus from the inside out. Inside.
Let us stand all over this place. God bless our young people. So excited about how God is blessing them. Our youth director and our youth workers took our young people to a water park this past week up in Zawali, and looks like they had a good time. Did y'all have a good time, young people?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the book of Acts, chapter 27, hope to achieve a twofold purpose this morning, in that our young folk are front and center, and also since it is Men's Month, I want to talk about how to avoid wrecking your life. I think that's a good word for both our men and our children. Amen. How to avoid wrecking your life. Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 15, there is this powerful passage that's packed with pertinent principles that will propel us on our pilgrimage here on this planet. Amen. And for both our men and our children. Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 15. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means that might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest." Verse 13. "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak into the hearts of your people a word, God, that will remind them, God, that with you they can make it. And God, we thank you now for these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, pastor's gonna tell us how to avoid wrecking our lives." Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, ushers, thank you. The entire 27th chapter of the book of Acts is devoted to dealing with storms and shipwrecks. This is a tremendously important chapter for believers, because God knows that sooner or later, you and I will encounter some storms in our lives. And I've discovered that it's not really the storms themselves that cause us trouble, but it's really the mistakes that we make while we're in the midst of the storm. And that's why I believe that God allowed this passage to be placed in the Bible so we'd learn how to avoid wrecking our lives in the midst of a storm. And by us examining Acts 27, God provides some pertinent principles to ponder on how to survive in a storm. Let me tell you, you need to know how to survive in a storm. And let me remind you in my introduction why you ought to be interested in this message. I think it's because storms are inevitable. I said storms are inevitable. If you live long enough, amen, you're going to have to deal with some storms with an S, plural, amen. Tell your neighbor, that means more than one. You and I will have storms. Jesus said, in this life, you will have trials and tribulations. Job said, man that's born of a woman is but a few days, and those few days are what? Full of trouble. The Bible declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous. And so all of those passages suggest to me that in this life, storms are going to come. Storms come, I've learned, from a variety of sources. Sometimes storms are self-inflicted. Tell your neighbor, self-inflicted. There's some storms, some troubles, some trials, some tribulations, some hard times that we bring on ourselves. Because of our disobedience, we cause some storms. Some stuff God never really intended for us to experience and go through, but it's because of our disobedience that we have to deal with some storms. Many people today listening to me are in financial storms because we spend too much money. Our output is more than our intake, and our upkeep becomes our downfall. I tell you that some storms we bring on ourselves. I don't really have time to deal with that part of it. Amen. Some storms come about because they are just the rent that we pay to live on this planet. Do I have any witnesses here? Some storms come just because we're human and because we're alive. We didn't do anything to deserve them. They're just a part of life. Some storms God causes in order to correct us, to awaken us, to teach us, to shape us, and to mold us. I wonder if anybody in here has had to deal with some of those storms and you knew it was nothing but the hand of God getting you back on track. It was nothing but the hand of God causing you to come back to church. It was nothing but the hand of God. And if we're not careful, amen, amen, what's his name is going to end up back in the White House. And it might just be that God is trying to, amen, circumnavigate the situation and the circumstances of our lives to get us back in church. Amen. Some of us let a pandemic keep us out of church. Y'all ain't going to talk back to me today. Amen. Amen. So storms come for many different reasons. Suffice it to say, we will all experience storms. And I bet I'm talking to somebody right now who's sailing in your boat, your little boat, and you're in the midst of a storm. Someone who is in a storm right now, but God is giving you a word this morning that even though you're in a storm, he wants to keep you from wrecking your life. Because if we're not careful, storms can cause us to panic and make some irrational decisions. Amen. Anybody ever been there? There have been times when storms rose in my life. It seemed as if everything was caving in. My world was imploding, and that's when the devil really started to talk to me. Amen. He likes to get you when you're vulnerable, when you're hurting, when you're sad, when you're depressed, when you're despondent, when you're going through. But God wants to share some powerful, pertinent principles that will keep you from wrecking your life. I wonder if there's anybody interested this morning. Well, here we go. Principle number one. I hope you still have your Bibles open. I hope you still have your Bible on your phone open so you can see it, because the first principle is in verse 9. The text says, when much time was lost, when much time was spent. Here's the first principle. Don't sell too soon. Don't sell too soon. Brothers, don't sell too soon. Young people, don't sell too soon. My sisters, don't sell too soon. You see, because they had lost time, wasted time. They wanted, amen, to crank up their boats and set sail in order to make up for lost time. And the danger is that when we're trying to make up for lost time, when we're trying to overcompensate for the past, we often get ahead of God and his time. When we've lost time, we get anxious, we get nervous, we become jittery, we get impatient and doubtful and try to do more than we ought to in an effort to make up for lost time. Amen. Amen. When things don't move like we think they ought to move. Do I have any witnesses? When time has passed, instead of waiting on God, we start panicking, believing that life, our season, our chance, our shot, our moment is passing us by. And the danger is that we often set sail before it's time. Well, we figure since time is passing me by, I need to start sailing. So I'm going to leave now. I'm going to try and make up for lost time. No need in sitting around waiting on the Lord. No need in, amen, waiting on him. I may just miss my chance. And what ends up happening is we set sail too soon. I've got two friends. One wants to get married so bad. And another one of my friends wants to pastor a church so bad. Amen. And they both want those things to have happened yesterday. And they both shared with me, Joe, I'm getting older every day. My prospects are drying up. Time is catching up on me. And if I don't do something soon, I'm going to miss my chance. So even if I don't believe it's exactly what God wants, I'm going to start sailing myself. I'm going to take this in my own hands. You know, my biological clock is ticking. Amen. God hasn't answered my prayers, so I'm going to put the pedal to the metal. I'm going to handle this myself. And God had me share a prophetic word with them. You better not do that. If you don't wait on the Lord, you're headed for a shipwreck. You're headed for a crash. They said, but everybody's passing me by. Everybody else is moving but me. Amen. My female friend said, she said, ugly, unsaved women are getting married. And I can't find anyone. And I go to church every week. My brother, he said, guys who can't even preach, they're not half as serious as I am, are getting called to churches. God told me to tell them, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down. You better stand still and see the salvation of God. And that's God's word to somebody here this morning. You're about to jump out there. You're about to set sail too soon. You're about to get in a hurry. And God has called me to tell you, wait on him. Because time has passed. Don't take matters into your own hands. Wait on the Lord. Because if you don't, you're headed for a shipwreck. You're going to crash your boat. The text says much time was lost. And all of us, my brothers and sisters, from time to time get anxious. Sometimes we wake up and realize that we've wasted time. And in the back of our minds, we won't say it or admit it, but we feel as if God can't do anything once our time has passed. But I come to remind you that God specializes. Is there anybody here who knows he specializes in doing the impossible? Isaiah asked a question. Isaiah asked, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth fainted not, and neither is he weary. He's not tired, but he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew. They shall renew their strength. David said in Psalm 41, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. I say to you, whatever you do, wait on God. You better learn how to wait on. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But y'all know the tough part is sometimes just waiting on the morning to get here. But you better learn how to wait on God. Amen. Because how many of you know the Bible is right? And if the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, it makes good sense to me that I better wait till the morning gets here. And do you know what I love about God? I love the fact that he will keep you until the morning gets here. So the first principle is, amen, wait on God. Don't set sail too soon. See, the devil always wants you to think life is passing you by. He always wants us to feel like if we don't get it now, we'll never get it. But many of us have made tragic mistakes for which we're still suffering today because we got in a hurry when we should have waited on God. Here's the second principle. The second principle is in verse 10. Amen. Learn to take godly advice. Learn to take godly advice. How many times does God send people our way? How many times does God send ministering angels to us to advise us, to warn us, to caution us that we're headed for a shipwreck? Many of us have wrecked our lives because we've made decisions and the only person we've consulted was ourselves. Someone suggested that he who has self for a counselor has a fool for a client. If the only advice you take is from you, you could very well end up in a shipwreck. Solomon says that there is safety in much counsel. Talk to some godly people around you. That's one of the blessings of being a part of a fellowship of believers. Amen. I don't have to call on the psychics to the stars. I don't have to stop at the house with the hand. Y'all know the house with the hand? The fortune teller? Amen. Amen. God has placed in my fellowship, in my church, amen, some folk who are dealing with the same thing that I'm dealing with, some folk who are going through the same storm that I'm going through, and I dare not let pride cause me to not tap one or two of you on the shoulder and say, how did you deal with that? How did you deal? Amen, amen, amen. If I get sick enough, amen, I ought to be able to tap Deacon Smith on the shoulder and say, man, how did you keep praying? And how did you keep singing? And how did you keep praising God when you were going through your storm? Thank God for my mother, 95 years. God has blessed her. And I'd be a fool, amen, when I find myself in a storm, not to get to my mother and say, Mama, how am I going to make it through this? Tell your neighbor, you better learn how to take godly advice. Amen, 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 amen. Notice in verse 10, Paul said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt. It will cause much damage. And then look at what he says. Not only to the cargo, but this could kill us too. He said, based upon what I've observed in my life, we ought to stay here. See, Paul had already been in 3 shipwrecks. He knew something about bad weather and shipwrecks. Tell your neighbor, he'd already been there. And Paul said, based on what I've seen in my life, since I've been in 3 shipwrecks already, since it's the season of hurricanes, if I were y'all, I'd stay put. Young people, y'all need to hear me. You need to hear me. Young people, amen. Whatever you do, don't tune me out right through here. Amen. If you've got godly parents, godly grandparents, or godly people trying to advise you, you better learn to listen. Young folk, I'm talking to you. Young people, I'm talking to you. I remember when I first became pastor, Pleasant Hill, a mother brought her child in for counseling. And that child had some nerve that I didn't have when I was a child. That child said to me, in the presence of his mother, she can't tell me nothing. Because when she was my age, she did the same thing. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. I hear some belts coming unloosened already. How can she tell me not to do it? And she did it. I said to that child, it is precisely because she did it that qualifies her to tell you why you ought not do it. She can tell you, I've been there, I've done that. And if you keep down this road, you're headed for a shipwreck. Don't take the same course I took. You don't have to go through the stuff that I've been through. Learn some lessons by looking at my life. God sends people to give us godly advice, but many times we don't take it. Oh my, oh my. You will wreck your life by taking off too soon. You will wreck your life by not listening to godly advice. But then number 3, you will wreck your life by listening to the wrong people. Verse 11, look at verse 11. The centurion believed the master, the captain of the ship. He believed the owner and the one who was in charge more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Often, my brothers and sisters, we ignore God's word and listen to others. There is danger in listening to the wrong folk. Tell your neighbor, they took advice from the wrong folk. Well, who ought we to take advice from? I'm so glad you asked. Number 1, we ought to take advice from the scripture. See, a lot of times we're looking for answers. God has already given us the answer in his word. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Many times we look for the answers in all the wrong places. We ought to look to scripture, look to the word of God. But we also ought to take advice from seasoned saints. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amen. Advice based on internal witness is another good place to get advice from. What are you talking about, Pat? I'm talking about from the Holy Ghost that lives in you. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Sometimes we miss out on blessings because we don't call on that Holy Ghost Spirit that's in something. And can I be real and be honest with you? There have been many times in my life when the Spirit was speaking, but I just wasn't listening. Am I by myself? Amen. Don't take advice from the wrong folk. Notice they set sail because, and here's my 4th point in verse 12, don't make moves based on trying to avoid discomfort. Look at verse 12. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Amen. Verse 12. Notice that they set sail because the haven, the harbor, wasn't convenient to spend winter in. They based their decision to sail on comfort and convenience. It would have been too uncomfortable, too inconvenient to spend the winter there, so they set sail. And many people today are shipwrecked because they made moves simply to avoid discomfort. They wanted to avoid a little work, wanted to avoid hard times, wanted to take the easy way out, to get rid of controversy. And as a result, they made a decision to sail simply because they didn't want to endure hard times. Amen. Don't want to commit to anything. Don't expect any ups and downs. How many of you know in this life you're going to have ups and downs? I don't care how cute you are. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how well connected you are. I don't care what school you went to. I don't care how many degrees you have. In this life, there will be ebbs and flows. There will be ups and downs. There will be good days and bad days. Yes, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm a child of the Most High God. But I'd be a fool to think that every day was going to be sunshine. As a matter of fact, I've learned that without some rain, nothing will grow. Come on, where are my folk who can look back on some rainy days and some stormy days and some cloudy days and say, I'm better now because of that. I'm stronger now because of that. I'm wiser now because of that. Sometimes young folk don't want to go to college because I've been in school 12 years. I'm tired of studying. I'm tired of homework. I'm tired of all of that. Yeah, yeah, but amen. You end up with the kind of job. And then don't be mad at the folk who endured the sacrifice. Don't be upset and don't be hating on the folk, amen, who took it upon themselves to go the extra mile, to work a little harder, to get something better for themselves. No, no need, and you hate it now. You had the same opportunity. You had the same opportunity. But no, you did not want to be uncomfortable. Don't set sail too soon. Because you want to be comfortable. Amen. Number one, you wreck your boat by sailing too soon if you're trying to make up for lost time. Number two, you will wreck your boat, you will wreck your life by taking the wrong advice. Number three, you will wreck your life by making comfort a priority and making decisions purely to avoid hard times. But then the last one. Amen. In verse 13, it says, because they set sail for the wrong reasons. When the south wind blew softly, they thought they obtained their purpose because the wind was blowing in the right direction. Amen. Let me back up. I missed one. Go back to verse 12. Verse 12. This is a real serious one. I need you to get it. Verse 12. It says, not only was it not commodious, not comfortable, but the text also says that the more part or the majority wanted to set sail. Y'all don't follow the crowd. Amen. Don't let the majority confuse. I know we like to say the majority rules, but how many of you know the majority is not always right? Just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. Just because it's okay with all of your friends and all of your buddies doesn't mean that it's something you ought to do. Don't set sail too soon because you're following the majority. I found out in my own life that God plus one is the majority. Amen. If God says go, then go. If God says move, then move. If God says pray, then pray. Amen. Amen.